From the Mayo Clinic Health System Auditorium in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation 2014 Gubernatorial Debate. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities and AARP of Wisconsin. And now, the CEO and President of the Foundation, Michelle Vetterkamp.
Good evening. Wisconsin's radio and television broadcasters are committed to continuing our public affairs broadcast tradition by sponsoring debates in major Wisconsin political campaigns. This year, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is hosting two statewide gubernatorial debates, beginning with tonight's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This evening's debate will engage the two leading candidates for Wisconsin governor, Republican candidate Governor Scott Walker and Democratic candidate Mary Burke. This debate is made possible in part through generous grants from the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities and AARP of Wisconsin. I would now like to introduce the moderator for tonight's debate, a longtime Wisconsin broadcaster, member of the WBA Hall of Fame, and senior faculty member at the Poynter Institute, Jill Geisler.
Is to help voters make informed choices, to encourage the candidates to share specifics on how they plan to govern the state of Wisconsin. This is tonight's format. Each candidate will present a 2-minute opening statement. The order was chosen by coin flip. After that, we turn to our panel for questions. Each candidate will have 1 minute and 30 seconds to respond, followed by 30-second rebuttals. We will alternate the order of those questions so candidates have opportunities for the first and last words. Candidate Ms. Burke, candidate Governor Walker, I also encourage you to provide responses that are detailed and that stay on topic. If you change the subject or give less than specific answers, please know that we may restate the question and give you an additional 30 seconds for a focused reply. I also ask you to be faithful to the time limits you've agreed to. There's a countdown clock that's visible to both of you, and I will respectfully but firmly remind you if you exceed your time. And should you persist, I don't think you will, but I would simply invoke the state motto by saying, it's time to move forward, and then your microphone will go silent. I don't expect we'll need to do that. We will conclude with 3-minute statements from each candidate. Finally, there is a balanced audience of invited guests with us tonight, and they have promised to hold their applause until the very end of the broadcast. With that, let us begin with opening statements, and by coin flip, we begin with Ms. Burke.
Well, thank you. Thank you to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and everyone viewing tonight. It's my honor to be here. I'm running for governor to focus on what works for you and for your family. I'm a fourth-generation Wisconsinite. My great-grandparents were farmers. My grandpa George was a mailman who used to deliver the mail to the house that I live in today. So every day, I'm reminded of my deep Wisconsin roots and the values that I was brought up on. One of those values is that everyone deserves a fair shot to get ahead if they're willing to put in the hard work. Unfortunately, for too many, that opportunity is getting farther and farther out of reach. 4 years ago, Governor Walker promised us 250,000 jobs. That's a broken promise. We're not even close. And in fact, we're dead last in the Midwest in terms of job creation. His approach isn't working. The typical Wisconsin family has actually seen their real income drop by nearly $3,000 in the last 4 years. $3,000. Governor Walker cut taxes for those at the top while raising them on working families and making the biggest per pupil cuts to education in the entire country. As a business person who helped create good-paying jobs here in Wisconsin, I know how to do this. First, we're going to invest in education, not cut it. Second, stop the tax breaks to the wealthy and special interests and focus on the middle class and on small businesses. And third, reduce the cost of college. I know that the economy isn't better until it's better for you. And I know we can do better, a lot better. Wisconsin has everything it takes, but we have to focus on what works, put the politics aside, bring people together, and use the best ideas. It's time for a new approach and new leadership. And tonight, I look forward to sharing my plans for Wisconsin that works for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Walker.
Well, thank you to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and to our moderator and our panelist. Thank you to my opponent for joining us tonight. And thanks to all of you here. It's great to be back in Eau Claire. It's particularly nice to have my wife with me here tonight, Tonette, as well. And thanks to all of you at home for tuning in for what I hope is an open and honest discussion about the future of this great state. I love Wisconsin. But back in 2010, as I was traveling the state, I saw firsthand the effect of losing more than 133,000 jobs and the effect it had on real people, people like Sandy from the Wausau area, who years ago took a pay cut in order to keep her job, but not long after that lost that job, or people like Michael, who after 20 years of working as a press operator ended up seeing his company downsize and be out of a job. These were real people with real families and communities all across the state. And as I traveled the state 4 years ago, I decided then and there that I was going to aim high and set a big goal of 250,000 jobs. Now, we've come a long way, but we're not done yet. Think about it. We went from losing 133,000 jobs in the 4 years before I took office to gaining more than 100,000 jobs since. Wisconsin ranked third in the Midwest for private sector job creation from July of last year to July of this year, or fourth if you measure it from August of last year to August this year. Either way, we're in the top five. And our unemployment rate, well, it's the lowest it's been since October of 2008, well below the national rate. Tonight, my opponent's going to spend a lot of time using old and outdated data to try and criticize and attack the Wisconsin comeback. Well, this week alone, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel actually said that those attacks were false. Instead, I hope you focus on the facts. The facts you'll see at our website, scottwalker.com, where we have a comprehensive plan. It's called Continuing the Wisconsin Comeback. I look forward to sharing those details of those plans tonight and in the days to come. I look forward to a real discussion about the future of this great state.
Thank you. Let's begin the questions now, and I'm going to start with Sean Johnson. He's covered state government and politics for Wisconsin Public Radio for a decade. Sean?
As we sit here right now because of a 6-3 decision last night from the U.S. Supreme Court, Wisconsin won't implement voter ID for the November election. So this is a two-part question. First, are Wisconsin voters better off or worse off because of that ruling? And second, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has said he's exploring ways to again implement voter ID before Election Day. Do you support the Attorney General's efforts or not? And by the coin toss, Ms. Burke, we'll go to you first.
Sure. I think what's important here is that every eligible voter in Wisconsin has a chance to vote. And so I think the Supreme Court made the right decision, because I had heard stories from so many people about the difficulties that they were facing in being able to cast their vote. A woman living in senior housing, she hadn't gotten her driver's license renewed because she didn't drive anymore. And so she was faced with how she was going to get to the DMV and find the paperwork in order to get that driver's license. I just think it's important, it's part of democracy here in Wisconsin and across the U.S., that people are able to vote. In terms of the Attorney General pursuing the voter ID, I'm concerned that people are, that we're putting roadblocks in front of people's ability to vote. And the federal judge had indicated that there's 300,000 people in Wisconsin that could be hurt by this law. And so while it seems like a reasonable requirement, when you talk to folks about the hurdles that that places in their lives in order to get that, I am very concerned that we are not doing the right thing and that we are shutting down people's voice. And in democracy, that's not the right thing to do.
The law in the state of Wisconsin is simple. It's easy to vote, but hard to cheat. For us, this is a common sense reform that protects the integrity of each and every vote. I was at a town hall meeting yesterday in Appleton where I took questions from the crowd, and one person asked me how many cases of fraud have there been in this state. And I said, I don't matter if there's one, 100, or 1,000. I ask amongst us who would be that one person who would like to have our vote canceled out by a vote that was cast illegally. The voter ID law that we passed 3 years ago that we actually implemented in the state. Remember, I used it, Tonette and I used it at our voting place in Wauwatosa in the spring of 2012 to vote in that primary election. It worked well. You all in the media covered it. There weren't any reported stories about problems out there. The problem we have right now is it's gone back and forth in the courts, and I think that's the basis of the Supreme Court's decision. Ultimately, I believe it will be upheld, and whether or not the Attorney General has an idea of how to move forward with that, I have not talked to him directly. Certainly will abide by whatever the courts ultimately say in this, and in the end, I believe it will be upheld.
Rebuttal, Ms. Burke?
Well, it's shocking to me to hear that the governor would say he doesn't even care whether there's only one instance of fraud, and yet he'll put these roadblocks in front of 300,000 people who would find it difficult to get that ID and to vote, even though there's no identified cases of fraud, and that it could cost millions and millions of dollars to implement. That's just not common sense, and it's certainly not what I would do as governor.
Governor Walker?
In 2008, the Milwaukee Police Department actually issued a full-scale report on the fraud that they saw in Milwaukee alone in 2004 in the presidential election. So there's more than just one documented case. There's many cases out there. But again, I go back to the fact this is a common sense reform. It's been in place for nearly 3 years. We've offered free ID for people who didn't have access to a driver's license upon request. And it's one where, and since the Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the law, we've actually offered a process by which they can easily get access to documentation for those IDs.
We're going to invoke our option to press for specifics.
Just a quick follow-up. What about the Attorney General's plan to try to reinstate the law less than a month ago before election?
As I understand it, I mean, I haven't talked directly to J.B. Van Hollen about this. He stated that, but we haven't seen a specific plan. We'd have to know one way or the other. I think it will ultimately be upheld, but I'd rather spend the most of the rest of this time in the debate talking about how we're going to create more jobs and build a better economy, improve our schools, and advance the state of Wisconsin than just on this specific.
Ms. Burke?
Yes, I don't believe that we should pursue that unless we are assured that those 300,000 people who are facing roadblocks in terms of casting their eligible vote, that we have the proper processes in place with the state to be able to assure that that is not a hurdle that they face.
All right, let's go to the next question, and that's from Mike Thompson, who's an anchor and reporter at WKBT News 8 La Crosse.
Thanks, Jill, and good evening to both of you. I wanted to begin with jobs because it is arguably the most important issue in this election, which you both made clear in your opening statements. And I think you would both agree that we're not where we want to be exactly with employment in this state. So my question to you both, specifically, what is one thing that you will do to create jobs or bring more jobs to the state that has not been done before? And let me be clear, has not been done before.
We begin
Governor
with
Walker.
Well, in our case, we're going to build off the successes we've had, particularly over the past year. If you look at July through July of last year to this year, we ranked third in the Midwest for private sector job creation. If you look at the updated numbers the month after, August through August, we rank fourth in the Midwest for private sector job creation. Either way, we're in the top five. And so we're finally starting to see things gel. If you look at Manpower's report just a few weeks ago, they showed for the fourth quarter of 2014, the projection is twice as big as it was just a year ago at this time in terms of employers who are looking to grow in the state of Wisconsin. I think we want to keep going forward with things that have worked. We don't want to go back to the things that got us in trouble before, not just in the 133,000 jobs that we lost before I took office, but even during the time when my opponent was in charge of Commerce for then-Governor Jim Doyle. Wisconsin ranked 42nd in the country in private sector job creation. And we had the only time in the last 25 years the unemployment rate in the state was worse than the nation, than it was here in the state, or Wisconsin's was worse in the state, I should say, than it was in the nation, was during the 3 years that my opponent worked as the head of Commerce. We don't want to go backwards to those things. We want to go forward. The unemployment rate in the state is now the lowest it's been since October of 2008. I want to build off those successes, put more money back in the hands of small business owners, and help job creators build from the bottom up an organic economy that says you can do whatever you want to do, not the top-down approach we so often hear from those who support bigger government.
Ms. Burke?
Well, the fact is the economy isn't growing at the rate that it needs to grow. And in fact, if Wisconsin's economy had just kept pace with the rest of the country, our economy would be $4 billion a year bigger. And that's money that gets spent in our local communities and Wisconsin businesses. It's additional tax base on which to grow our economy, invest in infrastructure, invest in education while reducing taxes. So we do have to do something different. And the one thing that I would do that you had asked what specifically we would do that hasn't been done before is I will actually reduce the cost of college. My jobs plan shows that we have to have 670,000 more degree holders for Wisconsin to compete for the jobs in 2025. 670,000. So what we have to do is increase capacity and reduce costs. Unfortunately, under Governor Walker, we have seen large cuts to our technical colleges and higher education, which has left 41,000 people on the wait list for financial aid for our tech colleges and universities. So I am actually going to prioritize this in the state budget and reduce the cost of higher education, technical colleges, and universities.
Rebuttal?
Well, again, if you look at the rate during the 3 years my opponent worked as the head of the Department of Commerce for the state of Wisconsin, if we grew at that rate over the last 3 years, we'd have about half as many jobs as we do today. So I don't really want to go backwards to those failed policies. We want to build off of that. And people go to our plan. It's called Continuing Wisconsin's Comeback. It's at scottwalker.com. It's a 62-page plan that talks about some of the very things our opponent's talking about that we've been doing and that we're going to build off. Our investments in higher education, our investments in our technical colleges, our investments in our workforce development programs. We want to build off of that going forward, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Ms. Burke?
Well, just this week, the Journal Sentinel actually said that Governor Walker's plan is more of the same. And I don't think we should be doubling down on a strategy that actually hasn't worked for the last 4 years. And with regards to my record at the Department of Commerce, we had 50,000 more jobs than we have currently, and the unemployment rate was 4.8%. I also cut $70 million out of the commerce budget. And so I know how we can get this done, but we have to make smart investments, and education is certainly one of them.
Let's continue the questions now with Keith Edwards, who's an anchor reporter at WQOW News 18 in Eau Claire.
Good evening, everyone. One of the issues on the Eau Claire County ballot next month is the state minimum wage. Wisconsin's minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. For someone working full-time, 40 hours a week, that comes out to a little over $15,000 a year. Now, a complaint was filed under our living wage law recently, claiming that $7.25 is not enough to live on, and as you know, the Department of Workforce Development rejected that. Please tell us if you believe a Wisconsin worker can live on our minimum wage, if you believe the state has any obligation to make sure workers are paid some sort of minimum wage, and if so, what that minimum wage should be. Ms. Burke, we'll start with you.
I don't think that our minimum wage is enough for folks to live on, and that's why I strongly support an increase in the minimum wage to the suggested $10.10 an hour over three steps. I talk to business people about this, both small business owners and large business owners, and they support increasing this. And the reason is first of all, it reduces reliance on government assistance. I want people who work full-time to be able to have that pride of a job, of being able to support themselves. And at $7.25 an hour, that's just ridiculous. You can't do that. It ensures that people are dependent on government assistance. The second reason to do it is this is additional money that gets spent right back into our economy, which helps local small businesses and our communities grow. Business person Craig Culver, great homegrown Culver's restaurants. I think we all are very proud of that. He supports increasing that minimum wage for working adults. That is the smart thing to do. It's going to help our economy, and it's going to reduce government assistance.
Governor Walker?
Well, back in August, I met a wonderful 25-year-old woman who was at WCTC for her first time going back to school to be a welder. In fact, actually, it was kind of fun. She told me her daughter, in a few weeks after that, who was 4 years old, was going to go to kindergarten for the first time. So they were both kind of excited. They were both going back to school. And she told me the reason she was able to be there was because of the investments we made this summer to buy down the wait list in our technical colleges for programs like welding, advanced manufacturing, IT, healthcare, and other areas, because those are targeted areas that we need, not just there, but all across the state of Wisconsin. We've invested more than $100 million this last year alone, about $180 million in the last couple of years in workforce development. And the reason I bring that up is our plan for the future is based on a concept in part we call learn more to earn more. We want to raise wages, but you raise them by giving people the skills and the expertise and the talents they need to be more valuable to their employer. We do it through our high schools, we do it through our technical colleges, we do it through our UW system, we do it through our apprenticeships and other worker training programs. And I want jobs that pay two or three times the minimum wage. Earlier today, I broke ground for a new $34 million headquarters for Skyward down in Stevens Point. And we helped them with that project. Not only do they make that capital investment here in the state of Wisconsin, they retain all the high-quality jobs that they have. And over the next few years, they're going to add 510 new jobs that on average have salaries worth about $20 per hour. Recently, we were at Forte Research in the Middleton area where we helped them create 55 new jobs that pay $33 or more per hour. We want jobs, whether it's those or others, that are paying two or three times the minimum wage. The way to do that is get people the skills they need to go forward.
Ms. Burke?
Well, the fact is Governor Walker actually made cuts to our technical college system, taking them back in his first budget to 1989 funding levels. So now to just put additional money into grants now, don't help the 41,000 people who are on the financial aid wait list while giving tax breaks to those at the top. Also, it's unrealistic to think that all of the workers that work in retail, home health care, that are paid the minimum wage are going to be able to shift to welding jobs. That's just not realistic. There aren't that many jobs out there. We have got to raise the minimum wage immediately.
Governor Walker?
There's a website the state has called jobcenterwisconsin.com. Right now, this week, there's over 70,000 job openings on that. We don't have a jobs problem in the state. We have a work problem. We've got to connect the dots between people looking for a job or looking for a better job and the skills they need to fill those jobs. And it's not just in welding or advanced manufacturing. It's in IT. We've talked about it right here in the Chippewa Valley and other places around the state of Wisconsin. We've got a plan to move this state forward. We've got a plan to help employers create more jobs and opportunities. And that's what we talk about in our Continuing Wisconsin's Comeback.
Keith, I believe you asked a specific question about the actual minimum wage.
I did, Governor Walker. I need you to answer. Do you believe a Wisconsin worker can live on our minimum wage? Do you believe the state has an obligation to make sure workers are paid some sort of minimum wage? And if so, what that should be? I need an answer.
Yeah, and my point is I believe the state should be focused on helping people create jobs that are much greater than the minimum wage. I was paid the minimum wage when I worked at McDonald's as a kid. I used that to save up for money in college. I didn't expect that was going to be my lifetime's work. And so we've got to have opportunities for young people, whether it's part-time or seasonal work. We've got to have an opportunity for them to go forward. But by the same time, we've got to make sure that people who are living off of that to support themselves and their families have jobs that pay far greater than that. The way you do that is not by an arbitrary limit by the state. The way you do that is by ultimately giving people the skills that they need, opening
time
up the
up.
Programs. And as far as the technical colleges go, the reality is we saved the technical colleges, our schools,
Governor
our local
Walker,
governments
time is
more
up.
Than $3 billion. And that's money they use to
Ms. Burke?
Themselves
Ms. Burke, your rebuttal.
I had actually already rebutted to the minimum wage.
When we ask the follow-up question, we give each person a chance to respond. So
yes,
so
no, I don't. I don't believe that people can support themselves on the minimum wage, and that's why I strongly support increasing that minimum wage. It's money that will get spent back in our local economies, and it's what's going to help create actually more jobs. But I want to be clear about this. As governor, I want to reduce people's need for public assistance, and that's what the minimum wage does.
Thank you. We now go to Judy Clark, anchor and reporter of WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire.
Good evening. There are dueling television ads airing this week focusing on the governor's position on abortion. Governor Walker, you are on record as opposing all abortion without exception. Is that still your position? Why or why not? And Ms. Burke, what is your response, your position on abortion? And Governor Walker, your response first.
Sure. Well, overall, reasonable people can obviously disagree on this issue. And I'm pro-life, but I can only imagine how difficult it is for someone going through that really difficult decision to determine whether they're going to end their pregnancy or not. That's why specifically here in the state, I supported legislation that would increase safety and provide more information to a woman considering her options. That specific bill leaves the final decision to a woman and her doctor. Now, per the specific request you made, that issue has been resolved. That was decided by the United States Supreme Court more than 40 years ago, and that's something that doesn't have bearing directly on this debate. The larger issue, though, about us seeking to protect the health and safety of every Wisconsin citizen does.
Ms. Burke?
I believe it should be up to a woman, according to her religious beliefs and in consultation with her family and her doctors, to make that decision on her own. And when Governor Walker talks about making these decisions and passing this legislation that stands in the way of women being able to make their own health care choices, making politicians in Madison the deciders on this is ridiculous. And frankly, to talk about safety at the same time that you have the cuts in funding have resulted in closure of 5 clinics throughout the state of Wisconsin that provided needed health care, such as cancer screenings, birth control, and family planning services, along with mandating invasive procedures that are against a woman's right to choose. I think this is absolutely wrong, and I think it should be women who are able to make these choices for themselves.
Governor Walker, rebuttal?
Yeah, in terms of funding, we actually just moved it to other areas, like, for example, the Winnebago County Public Health Department. And so we moved it from one area to the other in areas that are highly respected within their communities. And we've added funding. In fact, we talked about it right on the stage and elsewhere. We increased funding for the University of Wisconsin Carbone Cancer Center to help not only at UW, but for affiliates across the state. We've added about $15 million more to help victims of domestic violence and child abuse prevention. We've done more to help victims of other issues across the state. So when you look at what we're talking about, we've actually added to that in this last budget in particular.
Thank you. Ms. Burke?
Governor Walker, I think, is trying to have it both ways. He talks about health and safety as if it's pretty reasonable, but his position is anything but reasonable. He believes that even in the extreme cases of rape and incest, that that is not a woman's choice and that it's politicians that are deciding that for them. That is wrong. And taking that decision away from women is not something that I would do as governor.
Thank you. Sean Johnson, next question.
Yeah. If voters elect you in November, do you promise to serve your full four-year term? This question goes first to Ms. Burke.
Well, it won't take me 2 minutes or 90 seconds to answer this. Absolutely. I look forward to being governor not only for four terms, but I would love to be the longest serving governor in the state of Wisconsin. There's no greater honor, there's no greater job in the entire world for me. And so I look forward to doing that, and I hope the people of Wisconsin will have me.
My plan is, if the people of the state of Wisconsin elect me on November 4th, is to be here for 4 years. Toinette and I had to work pretty hard three times now in the past 4 years to run for governor. It's a position I'm committed to.
Response?
Just that I look forward to being governor of this great state, and I get more excited every single day that I'm out there on the campaign trail. I know we have everything it takes, an incredible potential here, and I can't wait to start to get to work. And it is because of the people of Wisconsin, people who are so committed to their communities and doing good things. And so I look forward to getting to work as governor of this great state.
Governor?
I can tell you, not only is my plan to be here the next 4 years, I can tell you, looking at my wife right now, there's no way I could run for four terms. Maybe two, but that's about it.
Next question to Mike Thompson.
The nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates that turning down federal funds for Medicaid will end up costing the state upwards of $500 million in the current and next two-year biennium. Also, recent numbers from the Department of Health Services show almost 27,000 people are still lacking health insurance, likely after losing their Badger Care coverage and told to transition to the marketplace earlier this year. Governor Walker, would anything make you reconsider your decision to turn down those federal funds? And to Ms. Burke, your decision in regards to those federal funds.
Sure. Well, first of all, let's talk about this in the context of the bigger issue that comes from Obamacare. I think Obamacare has failed to live up to his promises. I'd like to repeal it if I could work with colleagues around the country and put the power to make healthcare decisions back in the hands of the patient and their families. And that's the difference between my opponent and I. My opponent wants to expand it in this state. I want to repeal it and put it back in your hands. When it comes to this, we did something unique. We didn't do what any other state. We picked kind of a third Wisconsin-specific option. We were able to draw down the waiting list that was in place under Governor Jim Doyle for people living in poverty to get access to health care through Medicaid. We eliminated it for the first time in our state's history. Now everyone living in poverty has access to health care through Medicaid. We helped people above poverty transition to the marketplace, and we protected the taxpayers. My opponent's going to ask you to depend on the federal government, on the Congress and the president, who can't even deal with a $17 trillion debt, and more specifically on this issue, a Congress and a president who have failed to meet their commitments to Medicaid even in the last budget. I'd add over $600 million to the last budget just to cover Medicaid costs to continue. More than a third of that was because the federal government reneged on their commitments in the past. That's a bet I'm not willing to take on behalf of the taxpayers' money. We've covered everyone living in poverty. We transitioned people above it into the marketplace, where some went into the exchanges, but others got health care under their own plan at work or their spouses or others out there. And yet, at the same time, we were able to protect the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Ms. Burke?
As governor, what I'm going to work towards is bringing down the cost of health care for everyone throughout the state. These are tough issues, but as I travel around the state, I talk to far too many entrepreneurs in Viroqua or farmers who say that they are going without insurance because of the high cost of it. When Governor Walker turned down the expansion of this federal funding, this was fiscally irresponsible. It's $206 million in this budget alone. Over the lifetime, I mean, it'll be billions of dollars. And this is money that could come into Wisconsin's economy, that fuels our economy and brings down the health care costs for everyone. We know that when we turn down this money, people still get sick. It's just that we're not getting any money to pay for it. In the business world, CEOs would be fired for this type of fiscal irresponsibility that Governor Walker has shown. I would definitely accept the federal Medicaid funding. It only makes common sense. The majority of governors in the United States took it, including 8 Republican governors. They were right, and Governor Walker was wrong. He is leaving the Wisconsin taxpayers holding the bag for his poor decisions.
Governor Walker?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Janesville at a small business. In fact, Sean, I think you might have even been there reporting on it that day. I was speaking at a small business, about 12 employees, a small little manufacturer out there. And as I was talking about Obamacare, David, the owner of that company, literally grabbed the microphone and said, "Wait a minute, I got to tell you about Obamacare." He said, "Over the next couple of years, I'm going to see a 40% increase in my premiums because of Obamacare." He said, "Where is that going to come from?" It's going to come out of his paycheck and the paycheck of his workers. That's not affordable. That's anything but. We had a system in the state that worked much better before, wasn't with its, without its faults, and we need to build off of that. The best way you do that is not only get government bureaucracy,
Governor,
you get local bureaucracy out of it.
Ms. Burke?
I stand by the fiscal irresponsibility of this decision. This is hundreds of millions of dollars in this budget alone. It is billions of dollars over the next 10 years, and the Wisconsin taxpayers deserve this. The thought that we would turn away, this is Wisconsin taxpayer money that we pay to Washington, and the fact that we don't have a governor that's fighting to get that money back here in Wisconsin is irresponsible.
Mike, you wanted to ask that follow-up for
30
Governor
seconds. Governor
Walker,
each? Is there anything, again, that would make you reconsider your decision?
Again, from our standpoint, we're protecting the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. Jim Doyle made a bad bet years ago when he raised eligibility but didn't put enough money in and created a waiting list for people living in poverty. We've eliminated that waiting list by covering everyone living in poverty. We moved ourselves forward, but we didn't put ourselves at that same risk for the same sorts of reasons that we created the problem years ago under Jim Doyle are the same things now. Our opponent is asking us to expect, to trust the federal government that can't make their Medicaid payments even now to fulfill
Governor
those
Walker,
in the future. That's just not a realistic bet.
Ms. Burke?
Yes, well, I'm a business person, and in the business world, if you're getting a contract from a company and they say, "Well, we can only promise you that we'll do that for 3 years," you take that contract. That's business that you come in, and it's revenues that increase your sales and your profits. This is no different. It's, you don't know what's going to happen long term in the future, but in the meantime, this is money that comes into Wisconsin's economy. It reduces the cost of health care, and it helps create jobs.
Thank you. The next question to Keith Edwards.
Thanks, Jill. It's been 3 years now since the legislature approved Act 10, and the state Supreme Court just this summer upheld it. Please tell us what you think this law has accomplished, good or bad, and whether you plan to expand it to include law enforcement and firefighters or repeal it. Ms. Burke.
Yes, I think that when Act 10 was put into place, Governor Walker had said that it was needed to get our fiscal house in order, and I agree that contributions to health care and pensions are only fair. Most of the workers in the private sector have to do the same thing. But what worries me is that now we're back to a $1.8 billion deficit. We were told that this was necessary in order to get our fiscal house in order, and here we are back to a deficit, $1.8 billion. So Governor Walker's plan, it's not working. He's spending money that we don't have. This year alone, he is spending more, $400 million more than we are taking in. Our lagging economy is meaning our revenues are down. And I'm going to focus on making fiscally responsible decisions that are going to put Wisconsin in a place so that we have a growing, thriving economy. Act 10 was incredibly divisive, and now we're right back to a deficit position. So I would definitely continue in terms of contributions to health care and pensions, but I think that public employees should have the right to collectively bargain, and that doesn't stand in the way of having effective, efficient, and accountable state government. And that's the type of governor I'm going to be. We're going to run a tight ship.
Governor Walker?
Literally every day, every week as I go around the state, I run into school board members, city council members, town board chairs like I ran into yesterday, who tell me thank you. Not just for the savings. The savings alone save the taxpayers of this state some $3 billion for our schools, for our towns, for our counties, for our local governments. $3 billion. That's why property taxes, for the first time in about a dozen years, have actually gone down. This December's property tax bills will be lower than they were 4 years ago. My plan is to have them even lower going forward. But it's not just about the money. It's not just about balancing those budgets. It's about empowering people to do what they were elected to do by local officials. I talked years ago to a local official in northern Wisconsin, a school district. He said to me, in that school district, one of the best things about Act 10 was he was able to go back to his office, and now instead of worrying about grievances, he could focus on curriculum. Those are the things people go into education for. Those are the people that dedicated public servants go into to serve at the local level. We're empowering people to do just that. In schools, as an example, Appleton School District alone, the first year, saved $3.1 million that they could save just by bidding out their health insurance. That's money that goes right back into the classroom. Now, my opponent kind of went around that answer because throughout this campaign, she's done anything to avoid talking about Act 10. The reality is the people who are running millions and millions of dollars of attack ads against me on her behalf want Act 10 repealed. Why? Because we took the power out of their hands, the hands of the big government special interest, and put them firmly in the hands of the taxpayers.
Thank you, Governor.
As long as I'm governor, I'm going to continue to stand with the taxpayers.
Ms. Burke?
Well, I think I've been very clear about who I'm running for and will work for as governor. And it is the hardworking men and women of Wisconsin, like the mom in Monroe, who's worried because her daughter, a year after graduating from UW-Madison, hasn't found a job yet because of our lagging economy. It's the student who wants to go back to tech school, but he's one of 41,000 still on the wait list for financial aid. Those are the folks that I will be fighting for every day. I want to make perfectly clear, though, that I do respect the right to collectively bargain to get those wages.
Governor Walker?
Again, the bottom line is I'm going to stand with the hardworking taxpayers of this state. That's what Act 10 was all about, $3 billion worth of savings. I'm going to see it in place. I don't see any need to expand it one way or the other per your question. But I think in the end, it's worked well for the people of the state, not just for the money it saved, not just because property taxes are down, but because we empowered the people that we elect at the local level for our schools, our towns, our cities, and our municipalities to actually do what we elect them to do, not to be dependent on a handful of others who are not elected.
Let's move to Judy Clark.
The latest figures from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources show the state is home to 135 active frack sand mine operations. Most of these are in west central Wisconsin. Just this week, a mine just south of here in Trempealeau County shut down after county regulators said it was dumping polluted wastewater into an unlined pond and was operating without a permit. And a recent report by Wisconsin Public Radio shows only 20% of mines have been inspected by the DNR since July of last year to make sure they comply with air pollution rules. Do you believe the economic benefits, such as the jobs created at these mines, outweigh the environmental and health concerns of the residents, and are the current regulations doing the job? Governor Walker.
Well, thanks to God and the glaciers, we have some of the best frack sand in the world. And in many of our rural parts, they've been a tremendous economic boom, creating jobs and opportunity that we haven't seen in many parts of the state of Wisconsin, from the west to the northwest. And we want to continue to do that going forward. But it's why in the last budget, I added additional positions to do those inspections in the state budget for the DNR. We're looking with the tremendous growth. In fact, it's because of that boom you've talked about, we need to do even more of that in the future. And as we put our budget together, if I'm still around, we're going to add more positions, both because we want to keep up with pace for those that are legitimately here to operate, as well as to make sure we protect the health and safety of everyone in and around those mines.
Ms. Burke?
Well, I do have concerns about whether we are balancing job creation with protecting our natural resources. And in fact, there was legislation to try to take away local control so that local communities could be making their decisions about what is best with them. What I'm concerned about is big money special interests are driving the decisions in the governor's office instead of what's good for the people of Wisconsin and local communities to find that balance between jobs and protecting our natural resources. What we have seen recently is that there was a secret $700,000 campaign contribution from an out-of-state corporation, and Governor Walker changed the rules so that we had that corporation strip mining in our North Woods. And I don't know, but I think most of the people of Wisconsin think that that should be illegal if it's not. I'm not going to be selling out to the special interests. I'm going to be making sure that we make the best decisions for the people of Wisconsin, for our local communities, and I know that we can balance jobs and protecting our natural resources.
Governor Walker?
Well, there's bipartisan interest in this. Rod Moen, who used to be a Democrat member of the state Senate, is now the mayor of Whitehall. I joined with him and the mayor of Independence and other local officials not long ago to tour one of these new sites. And he said at first he had some hesitation, but he went out and visited and saw what was being done, saw the operation, saw what's required out there, and saw the economic impact it had, both on the construction for a lot of great operating engineers and other union members who helped build that, as well as long-term for the people who operate it. I think there can be a healthy balance between making sure we continue to add more staff at the DNR to make sure we can keep up with that boom, that
Governor
pace out there.
Ms. Burke.
Well, the fact remains is actually we haven't been able to find that balance between jobs and protecting the environment. And that's what's important. So we have to make sure that we give local communities the control that they need to make sure we not are only are protecting our environment, but also giving them the tools so that they can negotiate, so their communities are able to repair the damage to the roads that the mining causes. This is an opportunity for Wisconsin, but we shouldn't be selling out our natural resources.
Sean Johnson.
I wanted to ask you both about the budget, specifically the projected budget shortfall for the current fiscal year, the year that ends on June 30th. The nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau says that even if tax revenues grow by the 3.5% that they projected in their last official revenue estimate, Wisconsin would end this fiscal year $397 million in the hole. And this could be job number one for one of you. How would you fill that hole? We'll go first to Ms. Burke.
Yes. Well, as a business person, I've balanced budgets my entire career. And the way you have to do it is you have to go line item by line item in every single area that is being spent. You have to set priorities. And the priorities that I'm going to set as governor are job creation. We have to focus on what's actually going to grow that economy. Because if we had grown at the same rate as the national economy over the last 4 years, our economy would be $4 billion a year bigger. And that is tax base on which to invest in infrastructure and education while still balancing the budget. Unfortunately, Governor Walker made fiscally irresponsible decisions. He spent money that we didn't have ahead of those revenues coming in, and with the economy lagging, we are now in a $1.8 billion deficit. So first and foremost, I'll go through every line item in that budget, and we're going to prioritize spending based on economic development. We're not going to spend money that we don't have. I will stop some programs like the new $30 million entitlement program that Governor Walker created that is subsidizing private school tuition for wealthy parents. This is just a new entitlement program, along with the expansion of the statewide vouchers that is draining money from our public schools. So we have to look and we have to say what's really going to impact Wisconsin, what's going to help our local communities, make sure that we have strong education. But it is going to be making about tough decisions, but I'm prepared to do that.
Governor Walker.
Well, Sean, as you know, the most recent, or one of the more recent, the memos from the respected nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau to the co-chairs of the Finance Committee actually shows that the next budget will have about $500 million surplus based on realistic expectations. The one that my opponent referenced is a memo based on no changes to the budget and no changes to revenue, which has never happened. The bottom line is if you take reasonable adjustments like we made over the last year to the budget and you take the five-year average of revenue growth, we actually end with about $500 million in surplus going into this next budget. And so we think those are reasonable. We made reasonable adjustments out there, but I think it's also part of a pattern. We took a $3.6 billion budget deficit that we inherited from my predecessor and turned it this spring into a surplus. And we did it the old-fashioned way. We paid back the money that was raided from the transportation fund. We paid back the money that was raided from the patient compensation fund. We even had to pay money back to Minnesota. That pained me. We had to pay money back to Minnesota. Today, the rainy day fund's 165 times bigger than it was when we took office, the largest it's been in our state's history. And our pension's the only one fully funded in the country. So once we got a surplus after paying the bills, what do? We gave it back to the people who earned it, the hardworking taxpayers of this state. This spring, we lowered property and income taxes again, so a typical family will see an extra $322. At the time, my opponent and others in Madison said you shouldn't do that, you should keep the money in Madison. I got to tell you, here in Eau Claire and elsewhere, I don't hear a lot of people say to me, I don't think we send enough of our money to Madison. Most people say it's about time to send it back to the hardworking taxpayers.
Ms. Burke?
Well, the fact remains that it's a $1.8 billion projected deficit. And in fact, in most cases, that increases as each of the state agencies put in their spending plan. So I think that actually that number could go up. And so Governor Walker made these fiscal year responsible decisions. He based it back in January when he made these spending decisions on rosy projections. And what we're hearing tonight is, once again, rosy projections and not being honest with the people of Wisconsin.
Governor?
The memo is pretty straightforward. $500 million in surplus. That's one of the more recent memos out there. And the spending decisions my opponent just talked about are giving you your money back, giving money back to the hardworking taxpayers of this state. $322. For a young family, that's an awful lot of diapers. For a retired couple, that's a lot of trips to see the grandkids. For a working family, that's a lot of new tires on the truck or other things like that out there along the way. And so I think we made some pretty good investments in giving that money back to the hard-working taxpayers of this state.
We're going to go to one final and very quick question because we have a very limited amount of time. Mike, you get to ask it, and you're going to have to give very short answers to this one.
All right. Well, what is one thing that your opponent brings to the table that you see as a positive to leading this state for the next 4 years?
1 minute each.
Ms. Burke, you're first. Or, I'm sorry, Governor Walker, you're first.
Well, I respect the philanthropic activities my opponent's been involved in. Tonette and I have the honor working the last couple years with the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. In fact, we get a kick out of inviting them each year to help make the decorations for one of the Christmas trees. And I got to tell you, she's done some remarkable work, donated some great money, provided some great leadership there. I give her hats off for that.
Ms. Burke?
I think that Governor Walker has certainly done some very good things in the community. Certainly his work around domestic abuse is important, along with some of the charitable work that he has done.
All right. Thanks to both of you. We now are going to turn to your opportunity to give us each 3-minute closing statements. Because of the coin flip, Governor Walker, you go first.
Great. Thanks, Jill. Thanks to you, to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. Thanks to our panelists. And thanks to my opponent. Look forward to seeing you again next week. Same time, not the same station, but same location here in the state of Wisconsin. And thanks to all of you for giving up part of your Friday night to talk a little bit more about the future of this great state. A lot's changed over the past 4 years. I mean, think about it. We now have the lowest employment rate we've had, well, since almost 6 years ago. Jobs are coming back. Small businesses are expanding. New businesses are starting around the state. Property taxes are down for the first time in about a dozen years. Tuition at our UW campuses is frozen. We took a $3.6 billion budget deficit and turned it into a surplus. Some things, however, haven't changed. I still have that Saturn I bought back in the fall of 1998, although my son drives a little bit more than I do these days. I still eat a lunch out of a brown bag just about every day. I had one earlier today on my way back from Stevens Point. And I still love the people of the state of Wisconsin. But I got to tell you, it's one of those where I'm looking forward to being your governor if you give me the chance over the next 4 years. I love being the governor. I love the state. I love traveling from one end of the state to the other, visiting small towns and big towns and everywhere in between. I love going to factories and farms and small businesses and meeting some truly amazing people. And Tonette and I, we're proud to work together as a team to represent the great people of the state of Wisconsin. But tonight, I ask for your vote, not on behalf of Tonette and I ask for on behalf of two other people, Matt and Alex. See, Matt and Alex are our two sons, and more than 4 years ago, Tonette and I sat down and thought about, talked about, ultimately prayed about getting in this race for governor. We knew it'd be tough. And since then, we've had to make some tough decisions along the way, but back then, we knew it would be worth it because we were afraid. We were afraid that our sons were going to grow up in a Wisconsin that wasn't as great as the Wisconsin we grew up in. And for Tonette and I as parents, that was just unacceptable. Tonight, I'm proud to tell you that because of our reforms, as tough as they were along the way, and I know that some of you out there might say, I don't agree with everything you've done over the past few years or every step that you've taken along the way, but I hope that you can see that our motives were pure, that we did it to ensure that the next generation had a better future, and that we thought more about that generation than just about the next election. Tonight, because of those reforms for Matt and Alex and all the other sons and daughters like them, they're going to grow up in Wisconsin even better than the Wisconsin we grew up in. We don't want to go backwards. We want to keep going forward. And tonight, on their behalf, I ask for your vote on November 4th.
Thank you, Governor. And now your 3 minutes, Ms. Burke.
Well, thank you to everyone who has tuned in and to the panelists and, of course, Jill, yourself. As you've heard tonight, there's a clear choice in this race. Governor Walker has had 4 years, and his top-down approach of putting those at the top and special interests ahead of you isn't working. Let's recap the last 4 years. Our economy is dead last in the Midwest in terms of job creation, 35th in the country, and it's not getting better. August alone, we lost 4,300 jobs. The typical Wisconsin family has lost nearly $3,000 of real income over the last 4 years. $3,000. And we're facing a $1.8 billion deficit going into the next budget. That's not a comeback, and it's not good enough. If we had just kept pace with the rest of the country over the last 4 years, our economy would be $4 billion a year bigger. That's money that gets spent in local businesses in our communities. It's additional tax base on which to fund education and infrastructure while reducing taxes. Think about what that means for you. A better school for your child, more affordable college education, more economic security for your retirement. Tax cuts for millionaires and special interests don't create jobs. Growing the middle class and small businesses does. I will put politics aside and focus on what's going to work. I don't care if ideas are Democratic or Republican ideas, just whether they're going to get the job done. I'm also going to set a different tone. Governor Walker's tone and his approach, in his own words, has been to divide and conquer. Well, that's not the Wisconsin way. I'm not only going to change the tone, I'm going to change the system. There's no way that big-moneyed special interests should have a greater voice than you do. And we have seen from Governor Walker what happens when you turn over our state to powerful special interests. A $700,000 campaign contribution, and Governor Walker changes the rules so that a big corporation can strip mine the Northwoods. Big companies get government handouts while small businesses are struggling. With the new direction that I have laid out, once again, Wisconsin will be about a fair shot, a square deal for those willing to do the hard work. My career has been about seeing the possibilities, taking on the challenges, and getting results. I can't wait to get to work as your governor. We have everything we need to be a growing, thriving, innovative state that's a leader. I ask for your vote on November 4th and to join me in building a Wisconsin that works for everyone. Thank you.
I would like to thank the candidates and recap for a moment the subjects that we covered tonight: voter identification, jobs, the minimum wage, abortion, 4-year terms, Medicaid, Act 10, sand mining, the budget. And there are many other questions that we know the citizens of Wisconsin want to ask you, which is why we are glad you agreed to another debate next week. We know that you'll be asked other questions about climate, about student debt, about transportation budgets. We know that the journalists at that panel will be, we think, as persistent as this group has been, and we thank you for listening carefully and responding candidly. We'd also like to thank the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. Over 100 television and radio stations are carrying this broadcast either live or delayed today. It is airing live on C-SPAN and will be also streamed on PBS NewsHour. There is a lot of attention on this race, and we would like to thank you for your contributions this evening. We would also like to thank the panel, Sean Johnson of Wisconsin Public Radio. We would like to thank Mike Thompson of WKBT News 8 in La Crosse. We'd like to thank Keith Edwards of WQOW News 18 in Eau Claire, and Judy Clark, anchor and reporter of WEAU 13 News in Eau Claire, the host of this this host city. We'd like to thank all of you. And now, the audience, which has been so patient and promised us it would hold its applause, may now do what it wants to do.
That concludes tonight's debate between Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates, Democrat Mary Burke, and Republican Governor Scott Walker. Wisconsin radio and television stations work together to produce and broadcast this debate as a public service to ensure every citizen of Wisconsin has an opportunity to hear and see the two leading candidates for governor. This debate has been sponsored by our WBA Foundation through generous grants from the Wisconsin Association of Independent Colleges and Universities and AARP of Wisconsin. We would like to thank the candidates for their participation, as well as the team of broadcasting professionals representing the La Crosse-Eau Claire market tonight. Moderator Jill Geisler and panelists Judy Clark, Keith Edwards, Sean Johnson, and Mike Thompson. We invite you to watch for and listen to our second gubernatorial debate from Milwaukee on October 17th. Remember to vote on November 4th. On behalf of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, thank you and good night.